Well, it's been quite a good year for local miners as the rally in iron ore, gold and PGMs boosted earnings and put dividends back on the agenda. But looming labor disputes and the slow demise of gold mining leaves the industry with plenty of challenges. And joining me now to take a look at the kind of value mining stocks are offering given the factors at play, Peter Major from Mergence Corporate Solutions. Peter, thanks so much for joining us this evening. And before we get stock specific here, I want to take a look at the overall landscape and the tone that's being set. Certainly what's emanating from the Joburg Indaba this year. What stood out for you so far? Has there been a shift beyond the usual rhetoric in a bid to get this industry back on its feet?
Yeah, there really has, Alicia. I can definitely say the bottom was the end of 2015. So from 2016, 2017, we had great commodity prices. And boy, when commodity prices run, everything else takes a back seat, and so we had a lot of optimism. Now, commodity prices leveled off in 18 and 19, but they leveled off at a high level, and with the new change in president and cabinet, that was renewed optimism. So this is very much the most optimistic mine Indaba I think I've been to in at least 7 years.
Okay,
and
so
I think most
optimism,
people will agree on that.
Optimism high. Do you have, or are you getting a sense that we have parties here wanting to reach resolutions, actually wanting to understand the points of friction as well, Peter, you know, boasting a shared vision of the industry to allow it to grow? Because even though everyone's feeling good right now, it seems like it's going to be a case of easier said than done, especially if you look at the current platinum sector wage negotiations that are ongoing.
Look, it's definitely going to be a lot easier than it's been in many, many years, Alicia. Even the union parties here, and that's including Mr. Mutunjwa from AMCU. He had a short, very entertaining presentation, but once he stepped outside, once you spoke with all the platinum producers, all of them across the board say they've got a very good relationship with AMCU. I know Sibanye and AMCU have a little bit of a difficult relationship, but they even say it's better than it's been before. And the other platinum producers say it's great. They've got a very good understanding. None of them are forecasting difficult negotiations going ahead. So it leads us to believe there's a lot more rhetoric coming from the union side than there is action, that there's no appetite on either side for a drawn-out strike.
Okay, so everyone's looking to play ball. What are some of the new ideas being generated to address some of the challenges that still persist in the sector?
You know, the new ideas are very exciting, and they're closer to being implemented than a lot of us thought. It's always easy to implement new ideas, new technologies, new procedures on a business that's running well with profits, because money equals time. When you have money, you have time to do these, and things take time and work to implement. And if you have no money, you don't have time, you're working to just survive. This run we've seen in the PGMs and gold has bought the producers time and money. And we've had an amazing run in iron ore prices, manganese prices. So they have lots of time, lots of money. And the coal producers, unfortunately, they didn't save enough money. They had fantastic coal prices the last 18 months. Now these coal prices have fallen, and the majority of them are taking a bit of pain. So it's funny that the coal sector, which has had the best prices of all the last 18 months, is so ill-prepared. But the rest of our sectors look very well-prepared and on top of things.
Are you surprised at just how ill-prepared that space within the sector has been, Peter, given you know, the harsh lessons that have already been learned over the years?
You know what I think happened, Alicia? With the state capture, which really manifested itself in Transnet and Eskom most of all, it really almost destroyed completely the coal industry Eskom relationship we had. And it drove out the big producers, and it was the large producers that had the lowest cost of production. It was the largest producers that could give Eskom the lowest cost coal, the cheapest coal almost on the planet. And so by the state capture driving out our largest producers and letting in all their friends and comrades and a lot of people that shouldn't be in coal, it's made it the highest coal cost producers almost in the world. and they're not efficient, and they're not doing good at rehab. And Eskom's, it's got such a convoluted purchase strategy. And part of the state capture was destroying conveyor belts and railways and creating this massive industry of giant trucks that didn't even exist 20 years ago. I'd never seen such trucks. And so it has been damaged the most by state capture, and it's going to take the most work to fix it, is our coal sector and Eskom.
And despite that, we've now got government looking at implementing price caps or price agreements when it comes to the coal that's supplied to a player like Eskom. What are you making of that, and the kind of stumbling block this puts up for any progress that could be made in this space?
You know, all the answers are at the Indaba, Alicia. If you just come here and can spend 2 days with a notepad, you'll find enough answers to easily solve every problem we've got. And it was mentioned more than once. To solve the coal cost problem, all you got to do is go back to cost-plus contracts, get rid of the trucking, and put in conveyor belts, and you can drop our coal price dramatically, and we'd have Eskom with no cost increases for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And that could be done.
It's in this broad context that we've got the mining industry under increasing pressure, Peter, to deliver returns for investors, who want improved capital discipline at the end of the day. And, of course, things like mechanism of the industry or mechanization of the industry is one of the tools looking to be employed in order to achieve that. How much are you demanding as an investor from these companies right now?
Look, we demand quite a bit, but you have to take cognizance of the environment they operate in. So don't demand more than is realistic. You can demand good capital allocation. You can demand good cost control. You must demand meritocracy. But if that commodity price goes down, there's not too much they can do about that. If the rand strengthens, there's not too much about that. But you can demand good quality control, meritocracy, good corporate governance. And boy, we heard all the producers, they had their financial directors each telling us how strict their capital allocation is. It sounds fantastic. I wonder if it just started lately. You wonder where it's been the last decade. But people are talking the right talk here.
Let's leave it there. Peter, thanks so much for having joined us this afternoon. Peter Major is with Mergence Corporate Solutions.